is from Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through 12. We looked at the Romans chapter 15 2 weeks ago, and today is Romans 14. If it is God's will, we will look at Romans 13. We'll try to go backward, 13, 12, and verse 11. That's what I'm trying to do. Before reading our text today, let's bring our hearts to God one more time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the word that we can look at today. Especially, we are very thankful for your self-revelation to us through the scriptures. It should be our joy, and our spirit must be uplifted whenever we read the Bible. So now we are asking your presence with us this morning as we are going to read your Holy Scripture together. Lord, as I'm going to present the gospel to your people, not only to your people, to myself, would you please speak to us and help us to understand your teachings from the Bible. And throughout the sermon, we pray that only we hear and we see Jesus Christ, nothing else. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 14, verse 1 to 12. From the Pew Bibles, page number is 1206 from our Pew Bibles. We are using the ESV, English Standard Version. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgments on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgments on the servant of another? Is it before his own master that he stands and falls? And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats and eats in the honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, and he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of God. Before talking about chapter 14, I think we need to talk a little bit about the foundation, which will be like chapter 12 and 13, why I choose chapter 14. From the Bible, we know that God calls us as his ambassadors, such as 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, and then God making his appeal through us. It's obvious that we are God's ambassadors. That means our job is going to the world. Why? To bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to share God's love, because God proved his love by giving the life of Jesus Christ for our sins. That's Romans 5. That's obvious that we have that evidence in our hands. God showed His love to us, we have to bring that God's love to the world. We are God's ambassadors. And we are the representatives of God's love. That's why Paul talks about God's love somehow in Romans chapter 12 and 13. And in Paul's mind, God's love means like a glue, working like glue for the Roman Christians. Now, with God's love, the Roman Christians can be united in Christ. That means without God's love, there will be division and fight and disunity happening. So, that's why Paul is saying that God's love is glue for your unity. And by saying that, having said that, think about it, the members of the Roman church a little bit. We know that they had Jews and Gentiles, and surely rich people and poor people, and masters and slaves, like the Philippian church. We already looked at that book. So nothing could help them to be united, but only God's love in Christ is the solution for them. Love brings them to Christ, and love can change their selfish attitudes toward each other. And love can change the world through their hard work. God's love is the key that can change the world. So love is not just kind of concepts that Paul is talking about, but it's a really action, and it's a lifestyle. I'm going to give you an example. Romans chapter 12. Verse 9 through 11 says, love must be sincere and hate what is evil. It's a lifestyle. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. It's all about love. And also chapter 13, verse 8, it says, let no debt remain outstanding. And accept the continuing that to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. So, based on Paul's teaching in chapter 12 and 13, we are God's ambassador to bring God's love to the world. Then, what about love with chapter 14? Maybe we can think about that. It seems that Paul talks about a new theme in chapter 14, because he's not actually talking about love, saying love, but he's saying, talking about eating habits, different things, other differences among the Roman church in chapter 14. So some theologians say that chapter 14, even 15, are the conclusion chapters of the book of Romans. So we found general spiritual recommendations for the Roman Christians. And also other group of theologians say that, including me, I think that is more to write. Chapter 14 is an extended chapter. That means a sub-chapter of the previous chapters that Paul talked about at 12 and 13. So pretty much about related 12 and 13 and 14. So Romans 14 is very close to related to the previous chapters. Now here Paul talks about not only love, but how to practice. Now, we heard about love, love your neighbors, love your enemies, but how to practice God's love and love one another in the church? That is about chapter 14. You'll be here pretty soon, in a minute. Especially two groups Paul is talking about in the Roman churches, between here, as he said, the weak and the strong. We heard about them 2 weeks ago, but it's a different thing. We look at the chapter 15, and 2 weeks ago, that chapter 15 talks about the weak and the strong. Now, Paul talks to the strong people, those who have experienced God's grace already, have a strong faith, so that asking them to take care of the weak in faith by bearing with the failings of the weak. Do not judge them, but taking care of them as Christ did for our sins. But in chapter 14, Paul says about different things here. The strong means who could eat everything in this chapter. The weak means who could not or resist to eat everything but only vegetables. So in that sense, we see that Roman church was clearly divided because of someone was eating only vegetables, and then while others, mostly Gentiles, they were eating everything, saying that, oh, wow, I'm eating everything, you're not eating everything. So what's happening in the Roman Christian Roman church? I'm going to tell you a little bit about background. In AD 47, the Emperor Claudius expelled all the Jews from the Rome. They said, get out of this city. So many Jews left Rome church as well. That means the Roman church became like a mostly Gentile dominant church. So probably there was not a big division in Roman church at the time because mostly Gentiles, no more Jews in there. But the thing is, however, not many years later, the next emperor, Nero, allowed all the Jews coming back to Rome. So that means the Roman church was in kind of serious trouble again. Jews brought the law again. And then they brought more confusion. And even they brought more division in the church. Now that's why Paul here, he talks about in the book of Romans, law and grace in chapter 1 through and 5, we hear many times. So Paul heard about what's happening, the division in the Roman churches based on, here in chapter 14, based on their food regulations. That's really funny. I eat kimchi, you judge me? No, you can judge me, I'm eating kimchi. And Paul says in 14 and 2, he says, one person believes he may eat anything, and while the weak person eats only vegetables. By reading this verse, we see that division happens, begins with a little tiny small things, eating habits, eating regulations. The problem was not their eating differences, their eating styles, but what they did to each other. That is a real problem. In verse 3, Paul says, let not the one who eats despise the one who is abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgments on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. It's really clear that they're each other, they are despising and judging. Then let's think about why food? Why food? This is really interesting. Now, based on the Jewish law, they cannot eat pork or horses, other things that the law says don't eat. They cannot eat any food from that offer to other gods and idols. That's obvious. But however, the Gentiles did not matter about eating any food. That brings lots of trouble between them. And a lot of big argument in the church. That's why Jews ate only vegetable. They were not sure that all the meat dedicated to other gods or not at the time. So because they wanted to keep themselves holy before God and they wanted to keep the teaching of the law, that's why they didn't eat all the meats. But Gentile ate everything because from Paul's teaching, from the gospel, they understood that there's no more under the law, but God's grace alone, faith alone. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and 14, it's obvious, under God's grace. So from point of view, from the Gentiles, they saw that we understood that it's faith alone, you're still following God's law. So they're fighting each other. So for the Gentile Christians, they saw that Jewish Christians didn't have any faith and didn't understand God's grace and His salvation work through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Gentile Christians did something to Jewish Christians. They despised them. The word despise means in Greek, I'm going to read what I copied from my library. The despise means in Greek to show by one's attitude, manner of treatment that an entity has no merit or worth. Another meaning is to look down on them. And another meaning is saying that you are worthless. You don't understand. Another means more striking way to say it, your faith is nothing. But somehow Gentile Christians were right. Jewish Christians did not fully understand the meaning of God's grace. God's salvation plan through Jesus Christ. Only faith alone. And Jesus fulfilled the law of the Old Testament. However, it was not right for them to despise the Jewish Christians at all. That's what Paul is trying to say. And Paul tells us the reason in verse 14, and I'll talk about it later. Then what happened to Jewish Christians in Rome? Now, we heard about the Gentiles. Now, as we talked about already, they didn't want to eat any meat because they didn't know what's happened to them. They offered maybe to idols and other gods. Based on the law in the Old Testament, they were doing great. They were doing right. However, the real problem was not they are doing right or wrong. Not only eating vegetables, the real problem was their attitude toward other Gentile Christians. In verse 3, let not one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. Now here, an interesting word we see, judge, that means criticize and even condemned. Simply, we can see that they condemned Gentile Christians based on their knowledge of the law. So at this moment, Paul found out that there was a big trouble between these two groups in the Roman church. Gentile Christians despise all Jewish Christians, and Jewish Christians judge and criticize Gentile Christians. Even verse 5, it tells more about their fighting. One person esteem one day as better than another, while other esteem all days alike. I believe that every day is very important. Through our lifestyle, we worship God every moment. But some people say only Sunday. It happened to them already. Simply that means there is no unity. There is no God's love can be found in the Roman churches. So Paul talks about it in chapter 12 and 14. So, what's happening? By reading these verses, we see that we sometimes have the same problem in our church or other churches. They have the same problem. Unfortunately, the same things happening again and again to the contemporary Christians. Consciously, I want to say consciously and unconsciously, we tend to judge others. Even me, I do too. Every morning I say, I shouldn't do that. And a little after later, I found myself, I'm judging others. It's daily struggling. I'm struggling every day. And we despise our brothers and sisters because of different things. You know that our church can be divided into many sections or two or three from little tiny things, little tiny differences, like an eating habit. For example, we are so proud of that we are Reformed Christians. I am. I'm so proud of that because I came from Pentecostal church background. I'm so proud of that. I'm a Reformed pastor. But sometimes we despise non-Reformed Christians. I think it happened to me, don't we? The same thing is true for non-Reformed Christians. They look down on us. They say, you don't know anything about how the Holy Spirit is working. Oh, no. But I said to them, you know what? John Calvin wrote about the Holy Spirit, a lot of things in John Calvin's Institute. Have you ever read it? So different things are happening. They are looked down on us. But interesting thing is in Matthew chapter 7 and 1-2, this is what Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. We know this first, but we always do judge. We despise others. And Jesus said, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. It's kind of scary to read this one. I will be judged by judging others. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. By reading Paul's teaching and related to Jesus' teaching in Matthew, my heart is broken. I still judge our brothers and sisters somehow. Now, Paul's argument for their attitudes toward each other is found in verse 4. Paul says, he said, who are you? Who are you to pass judgment on a servant of another? And if you read this one like, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's not that way. Who are you? Who are you people to pass judgment on the servant of another? Very strong. It is before his own master that he stands and falls. And he will be upheld. For the Lord is able to make him stand. When we judge, we always forget something. It's not our job, but only the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who can judge His servants, His people. Only God can judge all the people in the world. We cannot judge others. If we do, as we do every day, that means we are undermining God's authority and His power. We're stepping over His power. This is what I can do. And Paul says in verse 10, again, it's similar words there. Why do you pass judgments on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. My intention of bringing this sermon is not giving you and giving to me any guilt feeling, but warning. Paul gives a warning sign in verse 4. He said, no matter what, we should not despise our brothers and sisters in the Lord. No matter what. Because that's God's job. And no matter what, we should not judge other Christians. God is the one who can judge. Then the question is, what shall we do? We just say nothing. I don't want to judge. I'll just stay here and not say any word. That's not the answer. Paul gives us a clear answer in verse 1. It says in verse 1, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. That's the ESV version. But the NIV translates this verse like this. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Translation is pretty much different here. Words are different. But here we see the same word that the NIV, the ESV translate. They translate differently. The ESV used like a welcome, and then NIV said accept. And although two different versions use one word, use it differently, it is easy for us to understand its meaning in verse 14 and verse 1. Accept your brothers and sisters. Welcome them in Christ. No matter what, different backgrounds and different traditions, different experiences. Accept your brothers. Accept one another. Why? In Christ. Because Christ welcomed you. God welcomed you. God accepted you. That is how church can be united in Christ. That is the way a church can practice God's love. As God showed His love to accept us, we accept one another with God's love. And that means, I'm pretty sure about this, this is my conviction, that when we come to church, when we have fellowship one another, with one another, we should feel acceptance. If we don't feel, whoa, that is, something is going on, we must feel acceptance. Because Jesus accepted us. Now even Paul pushes the Roman Christians to do more in verse 6. He says, the one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats and eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Repeating, honor of the Lord, give thanks to God. Honor of the Lord, give thanks to God. Now, simply saying that if we have time to judge and despise others, don't do it. But if we have that time, just everything, do everything for the honor of the Lord. And everything to give thanks to the God, to the Lord. Then he summarizes his teaching in verse 7 and 8. He says, for none of us lives to himself, for none of us dies to himself. Verse 8, for if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Did you see what Paul is trying to say here in verse 6 through 8? He's bringing their eyes and attentions, their business, differences, all everything, worldly business, bring their stuff to Jesus Christ. A church can be divided if we are looking at our different things and fighting over our differences and eating habits. A church can be united if we all are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ. Diversity is okay. We are different. We cannot be the same. You cannot eat kimchi in the morning and afternoon and dinner. But I can. I can do that. But we're not judging. But we have diversity. We are different. But when we are looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. If we remember that, church will be united in the Lord. Another side, Paul is saying to them, are you crazy? You are talking about food regulation at this moment. If you have time to fight, to argue, to judge, to criticize your brothers and sisters, stop doing it, but bring your attention, your heart to the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 9 says, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Jesus Christ died for you and me. I think that's enough. He is our Lord. I think that is enough. He is the Lord of all, and we are His people. I think that's enough. Paul's main idea is the unity of the church in God's love throughout chapters 12 and 14. As God accepted us as His children, now we need to practice His love. We need to accept one another in love. Although we are different, we need to remember Paul's teaching. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Living for Christ, we don't have time to judge one another and criticize one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 14, we know that that's really hard to live up to his teaching from the book of Romans. But it's a good time for us to be reminded, if we are arguing, if we are despising one another, that means our hearts and our eyes not on you, not fixed onto you. So would you please help us to bring our hearts back to you, because you are our only comfort. We need your grace. We need your mercy. So Lord, help us to remember Paul's teaching today. And we pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen.